Jill Carroll's plight underscores just how dangerous it is to cover the war in Iraq. More than 75 journalists and their co-workers have been killed since the conflict began, making it the deadliest story for the press in decades. As NPR's David Folkenflik explains, the nature of the war has increased the risk for reporters.
Chris Hedges was a war correspondent in Latin America, the Balkans, North Africa, Central Asia, and the Middle East.
That's not a healthy way to live.
Hedges was a reporter for the New York Times during the first Gulf War in 1991. Near the end of the conflict, Hedges drove with NPR's Neil Conan from Kuwait toward Basra in Iraq. The two reporters were quickly intercepted by Iraqi soldiers.
Neil and I were in my Jeep, and the armed gunmen thrust us into the back seat and drove off the hard pavement into the desert itself, so that my fear was that we were just going to be rolled out the back door and shot through the head and discarded like baggage.
As frightening as it was, there was some sense of order. Hedges amused one Iraqi colonel with a series of corny jokes in Arabic he picked up from a Palestinian language teacher. They were held for nearly a week. Hedges says it's much more dangerous to confront informal militia.
When you're dealing with kids with guns, with no training, and there's no accountability, then there's a quantum leap in the danger.
It is not known precisely who Jill Carroll's captors are. Christian Science Monitor Washington Bureau Chief David Cook appealed to them for mercy.
A while ago, Jill wrote that she went to Iraq because, quote, I could do more good there than in the U.S., explaining the difficult issues facing the people of the Middle East.
Cook spoke yesterday outside the Monitor's bureau, a few short blocks from the White House here in Washington.
It would be wrong to murder someone who has devoted herself unselfishly to promoting understanding of the Iraqi people.
Watchdog groups say the conflict in Iraq is the most deadly one for journalists since the Vietnam War. Lynn Tahini is responsible for monitoring North Africa and the Middle East for Reporters Without Borders.
For the first time, terrorists are entering the houses of the journalists, and they do not hesitate to kill them in front of their family. And they do not hesitate to kidnap them in daytime in the streets or where there is a lot of people walking.
Tahini spoke to NPR by telephone from her offices in Paris. She says foreign reporters are sometimes grabbed for use as bargaining chips. Iraqi journalists working for Western news outlets are more likely just to be slain.
Today, all journalists are in danger in Iraq.
Reporters Without Borders says 55 journalists and 22 media assistants have been killed since the start of hostilities in March 2003. Some have been caught in crossfire, but others have been targeted. Reporters who stay inside the fortified Green Zone in Baghdad are likely to be safer. It is controlled by the U.S. military. But their ability to depict actual life in Iraq is severely restricted. Most major news organizations have set up shop outside the Green Zone and have made extensive security arrangements. Jill Carroll reported 50 stories for the Monitor last year. She tried to keep a low profile while she pursued them, so she didn't rent armored cars or hire bodyguards. It was her intent to escape unwanted attention that way. John Stack is the vice president for news gathering for the Fox News Channel. He says news executives face a terrible trade-off.
With this most recent development, it's clear that journalists can be a target for the insurgents. And at that point, we want to keep as low a profile as possible. And as journalists, we want to be able to tell a story as well. So we constantly walk that fine line of being out and telling a story and also keeping them safe to tell the story another day.
Stack is well familiar with the adrenaline rush that draws reporters to war, but he says this one is fundamentally different.
The other conflicts, for the most part, there was always the risk that journalists could get involved in the crossfire, but harm to them usually was a mistake.
No more. David Folkenflik, NPR News.